2162. Wash ye your feet. That this signifies that the divine should put on something natural, in order that in the state in which the Lord then was, he might the better perceive, may be seen from the signification of feet as being natural things, and also likewise from the series of things. That arcana here lie hidden may to some extent be seen from the fact that Abraham prayed the three men to take a little water and wash their feet, and to recline under a tree, when yet he knew that it was the Lord or Yahuwah, and also from the fact that otherwise such things would not have been mentioned. That feet signify natural things is evident from the representatives in the other life, and from the derivative representatives among the most ancient people, and thus in the word. Celestial and spiritual things are represented by the head and its belongings, rational things and their belongings by the breast and its belongings, natural things and their belongings by the feet and their belongings. Hence it is that the sole and the heel of the foot signify the lowest natural things, concerning which see number 259, and a shoe the lowest things of all which are unclean, concerning which see number 1748. Similar things are signified by the representations in the dreams and visions in the prophets, as by the statue seen by Nebuchadnezzar, the head of which was good gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, the feet part of iron and part of clay. Daniel 2, verses 32 and 33. Where the head signifies celestial things which are inmost and are gold, as shown number 113, 1551, 1552. The breast and arms, spiritual or rational things which are silver, as shown number 1551. But the feet are the lower things which are natural, the truths of which are signified by iron and the goods by clay. That iron denotes truth may be seen above, number 425, 426. Also that clay denotes good, number 1300. In the present case, both being natural. Such is the order of succession in the Lord's kingdom in the heavens, and in the church, which is the Lord's kingdom on earth, and also in everyone who is a kingdom of the Lord. The case is similar with the vision that Daniel saw, of which it is said, I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold a man clothed in linen, and his loins were girded with gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl Tarshish, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the brightness of burnished brass. 10, verses 5 and 6. Specifically by these words are signified the interiors of the word as to goods and truths. The arms and feet are its exteriors, which are the sense of the letter, because natural things are therein. For the exterior things of the word are taken from natural things. What each part signifies besides, namely the loins, body, face, eyes, and the many other things of man, is evident from the representatives in the other life, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy more will be said when we come to treat of the grand man, which is the Lord's heaven, and of the derivative representatives in the world of spirits. That which we read concerning Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, that they saw the God of Israel, under whose feet there was as it were a work of sapphire stone, and as it were the substance of heaven as to purity. Exodus 24, verses 9 and 10. signifies that they saw only the externals of the church represented in natural things, and also the literal sense of the word, in which likewise external things are represented by natural things, as before said, which are the feet under which was as it were a work of sapphire stone, and as it were the substance of heaven. That it was the Lord who was seen by them, but only in those lower or natural things, is evident. For he is called the God of Israel, whom all things of the church represented, and all things of the word in the internal sense signified. For the Lord is presented to view in accordance with the things which are at the time signified. In John, as a man upon a white horse, when he signified the word, as is plainly said, Revelation 19, verses 11 and 13. The animals seen by Ezekiel, which were cherubs, are described as to celestial and spiritual things, among other representatives, by their faces and wings, but as to natural things, as follows. Their feet a straight foot, and the sole of their feet as the sole of a calf's foot, and they glittered like the brightness of burnished brass. Ezekiel 1, verse 7. The feet, that is, the natural things, are said to have glittered like burnished brass, for the reason that brass signifies natural good. Number 425, 1551. It was much the same with the Lord's appearance to John as the Son of Man, whose eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass. Revelation 1, verses 14, 15, 2, verse 18. That the feet signify natural things may be further evident from the passages that now follow. In John, I saw a strong angel coming down out of heaven, encompassed with a cloud, and a rainbow about his head, and his face as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left upon the earth. Revelation 10, verses 1 and 2. By this angel there is in like manner signified the word, the quality of which, in the internal sense, is signified by the rainbow about his head, and by his face being as the sun, but the external sense, or that of the letter, by the feet. The sea denotes natural truths, the earth natural goods, which shows what is signified by his putting his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth. A footstool is mentioned in various passages of the word, but it is not known what it signifies in the internal sense. As in Isaiah, Yehovah said, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is that house which ye will build unto me, and where is that place of my rest? 66, verse 1. The heavens are the celestial and spiritual things, thus the inmost things of both the Lord's kingdom in the heavens and of the Lord's kingdom on the earth, that is, in the church, and also in every man who is a kingdom of the Lord or a church. Thus they also denote celestial and spiritual things as regarded in themselves, which are those of love and charity and of the derivative faith. And thus are all things which are of internal worship, and in like manner all things which are of the internal sense of the word. These are the heavens, and are called the Lord's throne. But the earth is all lower things that correspond to these, as the lower rational and natural things, whereof also things celestial and spiritual are predicated from correspondence, such as are the things which are in the lower heavens, also those in the church and in external worship, and in the literal sense of the word. In short, all such things as proceed from things internal and are presented in things external. These being natural things are called the earth and the Lord's footstool. What heaven and earth denote in the internal sense may be seen above, number 82, 1733. Also what the new heaven and the new earth denote, number 2117, 2118, end. And that man is a little heaven, number 911, 978, 1900. In like manner in Jeremiah, the Lord covereth the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He hath cast down from the heavens unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and hath not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Lamentations 2, verse 1. Also in David, exalt ye Yahuwah our God, and bow yourselves down at his footstool. Holy is he. Psalm 99, verse 5. And again, we will enter into his tabernacles. We will bow down at his footstool. Psalm 132, verse 7. In the representative church, thus among the Jews, it was supposed that the house of God and the temple were his footstool, for they knew not that external representative worship was signified by the house of God and the temple, and what the internals of the church were, which were signified by heaven or God's throne, they were utterly ignorant of. Again, the saying of Yahuwah unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Psalm 110, verse 1. Matthew 22, verses 42 to 45. Mark 12, verse 36. Luke 20, verses 42 and 43. Here in like manner a footstool signifies natural things, both those which are sensuous and those of the scientific, and the derivative rational things of man, which are called enemies when they pervert worship, and do this from the literal sense of the word, so that there is worship solely in externals, and either no internal worship, or else that which is filthy. See number 1094, 1175, 1182. When things natural and rational are thus perverted and defiled, they are called enemies. But because regarded in themselves, they have reference to internal worship when this is restored, they become, as before said, a footstool, whether they are things of external worship or of the literal sense of the word. In Isaiah, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet honorable. 60, verse 13. Where the subject is the Lord's kingdom and church, the celestial spiritual things of which are the glory of Lebanon, that is, the cedars, and its celestial natural things are the fir tree, the pine, and the box, as also in the word elsewhere. And thus the things which are of external worship, of which it is said, I will make the place of my feet honorable. And this cannot be made honorable by the fir, the pine, and the box, but by the things which they signify. That the feet signify these things is evident also from the representatives in the Jewish church, as from Aaron and his sons washing their hands and their feet before entering into the tabernacle. Exodus 30, verses 19 and 20, 40, verses 31 and 32. No one can fail to see that arcana were thus represented. For what is the washing of the hands and feet but an external affair which is of no avail unless the internal is clean and pure? Nor can the internal be cleaned and purified by such a washing. But as all the rites of that church were significative of internal things which are celestial and spiritual, such is the case here also. It is cleanness of external worship that is here signified. And external worship is clean when there is internal worship within it. Hence their labors were of brass, and also that great laver that was called the Brazen Sea, and the 10 smaller lavers of brass around the Temple of Solomon. First Book of Kings, 7, verses 23 and 38. Because brass represented the good of external worship, which is the same as natural good, concerning which signification of brass, see number 425, 1551. In like manner, it was a representative that a man of the seed of Aaron, in whom there was a fracture of the foot or a fracture of the hand, should not approach to offer the offerings made by fire to Yahuwah. Leviticus 21, verses 19 and 21. By those who had a fracture in the feet or hands were represented such as are in perverted external worship. That feet signify natural things is further evident in other passages that occur in the prophets, as in these propheticals in Moses. Blessed be Asher above sons. Let him be accepted of his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil, the iron and brass of thy shoe. Deuteronomy 33, verses 24 and 25. No one can understand these words unless it is known what oil, the foot, iron, brass, and a shoe signify in the internal sense. That foot is the natural and shoe the still lower natural, such as is the corporeal sensual, may be seen above, number 1748. Also that oil is the celestial, number 886. Iron, natural truth, number 425, 426. And brass, natural good, number 425, 1551. Which shows what these words involve. In Nahum, the way of Yahuwah is in the storm and tempest, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. 1, verse 3. Where the dust of the feet signifies the natural and corporeal things with man, whence come the clouds. The same also is signified by these words in David. Yahuwah bowed the heavens and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. Psalm 18, verse 9. When the goods and truths of faith are perverted by means of natural light, as it is called, this is described in the word by the feet and hooves of a beast, whereby waters are disturbed and food is trampled upon, as in Ezekiel. Thou hast come forth into the rivers, and hast troubled the waters with thy feet, and trampled the streams thereof. I will destroy every beast thereof from off many waters, and the foot of man shall not trouble them any more, nor the hoof of beast. 32, verses 2 and 13. Egypt is here treated of, by which are signified sciences, as has been shown, number 1164, 1165, 1462, so that by the feet and hooves, by which the streams and waters are troubled, are signified scientifics, derived from sensuous and natural things, from which they reason about the arcana of faith, nor do they believe until these arcana are comprehended by means of such sciences. And this is not to believe at all, for the more such persons reason, the less do they believe. See Numbers 128-130, 215-232, 233, 1072, 1385. From all this it is now evident that by feet in the word are signified natural things. But what more is signified is evident from this series of things. 2163. And lie down under the tree. That this signifies near to the perception of his state in which he then was, is evident from the signification of a tree as being perception, see number 103. Bearing which in mind, the series of things shows that the above is the real sense of the words. That trees signified perceptions originated in the fact that the celestial man was compared and likened to paradise, or the garden in Eden, from which the perceptions of celestial things with him were likened to the trees therein. 2164, verse 5. And I will take a piece of bread and support ye your heart, afterwards ye may pass on, for therefore have ye passed over unto your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast spoken. I will take a piece of bread, signifies something celestial adjoined. Support ye your heart, signifies as much as is meet. Afterwards ye may pass on, signifies that when he had left off perceiving, he would be content therewith. For therefore have ye passed over unto your servant, signifies that they came for this purpose. And they said, So do as thou hast spoken, signifies that it should be so done. 2165. I will take a piece of bread. That this signifies something celestial adjoined is evident from the signification of bread as being what is celestial, explained before, number 276, 680, 681, 1798. That bread signifies what is celestial is because bread means all food in general, and thus in the internal sense all celestial food. What celestial food is has been stated in part first, number 56 to 58, 680, 681, 1480, 1695. That bread means all food in general is evident from the following passages of the word. We read of Joseph that he said to him who was over his house, that he should bring the men, his brethren, home, and should slay what was to be slain, and should make ready. And afterwards, when they had made ready, and were to eat, he said, Set on bread. Genesis 43, verses 16 and 31, meaning that they should make the table ready. Bread thus denoting all kinds of food. We read concerning Jethro that Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Exodus 18, verse 12. Where also bread denotes all kinds of food. Concerning Manoah in the book of Judges. Manoah said unto the angel of Yahuwah, Let us, I pray, detain thee, and let us make ready before thee a kid of the goats. And the angel of Yahuwah said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, 13, verses 15, 16, where bread denotes a kid of the goats. When Jonathan ate of the honeycomb, they told him that Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that shall eat bread this day." First Book of Samuel 14, verses 27, 28, where bread denotes all food. Again concerning Saul. When Saul sat down to eat bread, he said unto Jonathan, "Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to bread, either yesterday or today?" First Book of Samuel 20, verses 24, 27, meaning to the table, where were all kinds of food. We read concerning David that he said to Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, "Thou shalt eat bread on my table continually." Second Book of Samuel 9, verses 7, 10. So too concerning evil Merodach, who said that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, should eat bread before him continually, all the days of his life. Second Book of Kings 25, verse 29. Concerning Solomon also. Solomon's bread for each day was 30 cores of fine flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides the hart and the wild she-goat and the antelope and the fatted fowl. First Book of Kings 4, verses 22-23. Where bread plainly denotes all of these things. Now as bread means all kinds of food in general, it therefore signifies in the internal sense all those things which are called celestial foods, as may be still more evident from the burnt offerings and sacrifices that were made of lambs, sheep, she-goats, kids, he-goats, heifers, and oxen, which were called in one word, the bread of the offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, as is clearly evident from the following passages in Moses, where the various sacrifices are treated of which it is said that the priest should burn them upon the altar, the bread of the offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, for an odor of rest. Leviticus 3, verses 11-16, all those sacrifices and burnt offerings being so called. Again, the sons of Aaron shall be holy unto their God, neither shall they profane the name of their God, because the offerings to Yahuwah made by fire, the bread of their God, they do offer. Thou shalt sanctify him, because he offereth the bread of thy God. A man of the seed of Aaron, in whom there shall be a blemish, shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Leviticus 21, verses 6, 8, 17, 21, where also sacrifices and burnt offerings are the bread. The same is true of Leviticus 22, verse 25. Again, command the sons of Israel, and say unto them, my oblation, my bread for offerings made by fire, of an odor of rest shall ye observe, to offer unto me at their appointed time. Numbers 28, verse 2. Here also bread denotes all the sacrifices which are there enumerated. In Malachi, offering polluted bread upon mine altar. 1, verse 7. Where also the sacrifices are spoken of. The hallowed things of the sacrifices which they ate were also called bread, as is evident from these words in Moses. He that toucheth an unclean thing shall not eat of the hallowed things, but he shall wash his flesh in water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean. And afterwards he shall eat of the hallowed things, because this is his bread. Leviticus 22, verses 6 and 7. The burnt offerings and sacrifices in the Jewish church represented nothing else than the celestial things of the Lord's kingdom in the heavens and of the Lord's kingdom on earth, that is, in the church, also of the Lord's kingdom or church with each person, and in general all those things which are of love and charity, for these are things celestial. And each kind of sacrifice represented something special and peculiar. All these were at that time called bread, and therefore when sacrifices were abolished and other things succeeded in their place for external worship, it was commanded that bread and wine should be made use of. From all this we may now see what the bread in the Holy Supper signifies, namely all the things represented by the sacrifices, thus in the internal sense, the Lord himself. And because the bread signifies the Lord himself, it signifies love itself toward the universal human race and what belongs to love, as also man's reciprocal love to the Lord and toward the neighbor. The bread thus signifies all celestial things, and in the same way, the wine signifies all spiritual things, as the Lord also teaches in plain words in John. They said, "Our fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." They said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." 6 verses 31 to 35. And again, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that one may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any one eat of this bread, he shall live to eternity." 6 verses 47 to 51. Now because the bread is the Lord, it belongs to the celestial things which are of love, which are the Lord's. For the Lord is the celestial itself, because he is love itself, that is, mercy itself. And because this is so, bread means all the celestial, that is, all the love and charity with man, for these are from the Lord. And therefore they who are not in love and charity have not the Lord with them, and thus are not gifted with the good and happy things that in the internal sense are signified by bread. This outward symbol was commanded because the greatest part of the human race are in external worship, and therefore without some outward symbol there would be scarcely anything holy with them. And therefore when they live in love to the Lord and in charity toward the neighbor, they nevertheless have appertaining to them what is internal, although they do not know that this love and charity is the veriest internal of worship. Thus in their external worship they are confirmed in the goods which are signified by the bread. In the prophets also, the celestial things of love are signified by bread, as in Isaiah 3, verses 1 and 7, 30, verse 23, 33, verses 15, 16, 55, verse 2, 58, verses 7, 8, Lamentations 5, verse 9, Ezekiel 4, verses 16, 17, 5, verse 16, 14, verse 13, Amos 4, verse 6, 8, verse 11, Psalm 105, verse 16. In like manner, by the bread of faces upon the table, mentioned Leviticus 24, verses 5 to 9, Exodus 25, verse 30, 40, verse 23, Numbers 4, verse 7, First Book of Kings, 7, verse 48. Support ye your heart. That this signifies as much as is meet cannot be so evident from the proximate signification of the words in the internal sense, but yet it is evident from the series of things, for the subject treated of is the divine perception, that this might draw nearer to the perception of the human which then appertained to the Lord, and that it might let itself down to his intellectual things, by putting on something natural and also something celestial adjoined to it, as much as was meet, which is to support the heart. In the proximate sense, to support the heart by bread is to be refreshed, and thus to enjoy what little of the celestial is meet. 2167. Afterwards ye may pass on. That this signifies that when he had left off perceiving, he would then be content therewith, is in like manner evident from the series. 2168. For therefore have ye passed over unto your servant. That this signifies that they came for this purpose is also evident without explication. 2169. And they said, so do as thou hast spoken. That this signifies that it would be so done, likewise needs no explication. 2170, verse 6. And Abraham hastened toward the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of meal of fine flour, knead, and make cakes. Abraham hastened toward the tent unto Sarah, signifies the Lord's rational good conjoined with his truth. Abraham is here the Lord in that state as to good, Sarah as to truth, the tent as to the holy of love, and said, signifies the state of perception relatively at that time. Make ready quickly 3 measures of meal of fine flour, knead and make cakes, signifies the celestial of his love in that state. 3 denotes what is holy. Meal of fine flour is the spiritual and the celestial of the rational which were then with the Lord. Cakes denote the same when both are conjoined. 2171. Abraham hastened toward the tent unto Sarah. That this signifies the Lord's rational good conjoined with his truth is evident from the representation of Abraham and also of Sarah, and from the signification of a tent, concerning which presently. As each and all things bear relation to the subject treated of in the internal sense, So do these words bear relation to the divine perception into which the Lord came when he was in the perception of the human. But those who do not know what perception is cannot know either how the case is with it, still less that there exists a perception that is more and more interior, namely natural perception, then rational perception, and finally internal perception, which is divine, and which the Lord alone had. They who are in perception, as are the angels, know very well in which perception they are, whether in natural, in rational, or in a still more interior perception, which to them is divine. What then must have been the case with the Lord, who had a perception from the supreme and infinite divine, concerning which see number 1616 at the end, 1791, in which no angels ever are, for perception flows into them from the Lord Supreme or Infinite Divine through his human essence. The reason why the Lord's perception is described is that when he was in the human, it was thus made known to him how the divine itself, the human divine, and the holy proceeding were to be united in him. Then how his rational was to be made divine, and finally what was the quality of the human race, that it was to be saved by him, that is, by the union of the human essence with the divine essence in him, which are the subjects treated of in this chapter. On these accounts, the Lord's perception is first described, as also on account of the union itself which was to be effected. 2172. That Abraham is here the Lord in that state as to good is evident from the representation of Abraham. When he is speaking with Yahuwah as here, Abraham represents the Lord in the human, as also before, number 1989, where he represented the Lord in the state and at the age there described, because then also he spoke with Yahuwah. In other cases, Abraham represents the Lord's divine good, and Sarah his divine truth. Hence, Abraham now represents the Lord's rational good. 2173. That Sarah is here the Lord as to truth is evident from the representation of Sarah as being intellectual truth adjoined to good, here as being rational truth, for the same reason as just now stated in regard to Abraham. That Sarah represents truth may be seen above, number 1468, 1901, 2063, 2065. In the historicals of the word, good and truth cannot be represented otherwise than by a marriage, for this is really the case with them. For there is a divine marriage between things celestial and spiritual, or what is the same between those which are of love and those which are of faith, or again what is the same between those of the will and those of the understanding. The former are of good, the latter are of truth. There is such a marriage in the Lord's kingdom in the heavens, such also in the Lord's kingdom on the earth, that is, in the church. Such a marriage in every man, in every single thing of him, nay, in the various singulars of all. That which is not in such a marriage does not live. Nay, from that divine marriage there is such a marriage in universal nature, and in every particular of it, but under other form and appearance, otherwise nothing whatever would there subsist. Because there is such a marriage in everything, therefore, with the prophets, every matter is expressed in a twofold manner, especially in Isaiah, one expression referring to what is celestial or to good, and the other to what is spiritual or to truth. See number 683, 793, 801. That in everything there is a resemblance of a marriage may be seen above, number 718, 747, 917, 1432. Hence it is that the Lord's good is represented by Abraham, and his truth by Sarah. 2174. That a tent is the Lord as to the holy of love is evident from the signification of a tent as being what is holy. Explained before, number 414, 1102, 1566, 2145. 2175. And he said, that this signifies the state of the perception relatively at that time is evident from the signification in the historical sense of saying, as being to perceive. Explained before, number 1898, 1919, 2080.